Hey everyone, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Toronto City Church. Once again, I am so glad that you have chosen to join us. I'm missing everybody in person, but you know what? We just got to keep holding on, keep pushing forward. We are going to be back together soon enough. Today is a very significant Sunday for several reasons. First and foremost, it's the first Sunday of the month, so we will be taking communion together. So if you want to just make sure you have your communion elements, even now, go ahead. If you need to grab them, have them ready at the end of my message. We are going to take communion. Secondly, it's a very important Sunday because it is the Sunday that we are doing our first fruits offering. Now, I know things are a little different in this context where we don't all necessarily give physically at this moment. And some of you have given your first fruit already. Some of you are planning to give during this block of time, and others of you will give tonight or perhaps give tomorrow. But what we are going to do is we're going to have a special moment of consecration and prayer to the Lord, and we're going to commit this offering to Him at the end. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Now, as you know as well, on the first Sundays, we have really focused in on healing. And so we started this in 2020. We carried it through all of last year. And this year, we really are committing to continue to take the first Sunday of every month and do a healing school. We focus on healing, we focus on the power of God, and we focus on the supernatural. And so today, I think it's a very interesting intersection between it being the first Sunday of the month, it being healing school, and it also being our first fruits offering. And so as I prayed about how to combine and how to connect all these things together, I really felt from the Lord that He wanted me to talk with you, to do a little bit of teaching, a little bit of preaching, a little bit of sharing about the connection between our giving and generosity and the supernatural. Now, let me be really clear right from the beginning of what I am not teaching. I am not coming to you today to say that you need to give a big offering to get your miracle. I'm not coming to say that if you give a certain amount of money or if you give a certain offering, it will automatically mean that the supernatural is going to happen. Sadly, this type of teaching has come out far too often and it's been abused in different contexts. That is not what I am trying to say. In the middle of that, though, I want to be very clear about what I am saying today. What I am saying is that, number one, anytime you find a powerful move of God, you will always find radical generosity. Always, bar none. I love to study church history. Anytime you see a move of God, you see places and congregations and contexts where God is moving in a very significant way, you find generosity. The two are very interconnected. Furthermore, I want to be clear that our obedience to the Lord in our giving, whether it's a big offering, whether it's a small offering, it's really not about the size of the offering, but it's about of our obedience. But our obedience to the Lord in our giving, when Spirit-led, it can be very catalytic to see a manifestation of what God wants to do. Now, let me show this to you a little bit in the Scriptures. If you want to go with me in your Bible, let's turn to Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is a passage that has really been in my heart as we've come into this year, and I feel like it's going to be a key passage through all of 2021 and beyond for us. And Acts 2, 42 says this, "Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders." Verse 44, "All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life." Now, again, I really have been meditating and praying into this passage. I believe it's a very key passage for us, even as a church family and the body of Christ, as we push forward into this year. But we see that it is giving some very key distinctive ingredients, you could say, of a move of God that the early church was experiencing. We know that this is a picture of a church that was in revival. We know this was a picture of a church that was impacting the world around it. We also know that this being the early church, and just as God started to move, that there's so much for us to learn from what God was doing here. And so we see a number of key distinctives. Number one, we see that they were devoted to the teachings of the Word of God. Talked about the teachings of the apostles, and they were the ones who were bringing forward the Word of the Lord. So there was a hunger for the Word of God. There was a devotion to the Word of God. It wasn't just a few individuals here or there, but collectively as a church, there was a hunger for the Word. I believe God is doing this in us, and I want to call us to this hunger in the Word. Secondly, we see that it says their hearts were mutually linked together. You know, next week we're going to be starting a new series entitled By Our Love. And we're going to be talking about how this year God wants us to grow in our love for one another and in our connection to one another, into the community that He's forming. But we see that this was happening here, that they were mutually linked together. It talks about them sharing communion. Today, we're going to have an opportunity to share communion together. It talks about they came together regularly for prayer. I was so thankful this past week for the week of prayer and fasting we had. There's opportunities even going forward for you to be involved in different connect points to pray and agree. My dream for our church is that every day there are going to be multiple prayer meetings happening where we're going before the Lord on behalf of ourselves, our church, and our nation. But we see that there was this regular prayer. We also see that there was a sense of awe and the fear of the Lord. And I believe that God is doing something significant in this time, and He's calling us back to an awe of Him, a fear of Him. When the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, it is not talking about being afraid of God, but it's talking about having a holy reverence, a holy awe, and a holy respect for Him. And in these days, I believe that God is restoring an element of the fear of the Lord in our churches, and He's restoring it in our lives if we will say yes to Him. So there was this awe, there was this fear of the Lord. We also see that there are many miraculous signs and wonders. Guys, that's why we're doing these Healing School Sundays. That's why we're praying and we're contending together and we're saying, God, we want to see healing. We want to see Your power demonstrated. Why? Because the world around us does not just need good theology, but they need real demonstrations of a real God. Signs and wonders. Signs that point to Jesus and signs that make people wonder and open their hearts up to the gospel. And so we see that. We see that they met together regularly. We see that they shared meals with joyful hearts and tender humility. Now, I know we're limited to do that right now with everything in the world around us, but you know it's not going to last forever. And one of the things I want to encourage you is even be strategic from now, and just as we've understood where we've been so limited from gathering together, as things begin to open up, whenever they do during this year, let us be intentional and strategic about saying, hey, let's really build community. Let's really connect. Let's have people over for meals. Let's sit and join together. And so we see they were doing this. We see that they praise God. God has called us to be a tabernacle of David. There's a tabernacle of David move that He's even going to begin to release in 2021, family. And I want to encourage you that we would lean in, that this is a house of prayer, but we're also a house of praise. We are a house of worship. We are a house of people that say, God, we're here for You. We're not just here for ourselves. We're not just here to go through the motions, but we're here to minister to You. We're here to honor You. We're here to glorify You. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, if You will lift Me up, I will draw all men unto Myself. And we will declare and be a people that say, God, we're going to lift Your name up no matter what. And so we see there was this element of praise, and we're going to lean into that. We also see that God was giving them great favor. I just want to pray and declare and prophesy that this is going to be a year of the favor of the Lord. It doesn't mean there won't be challenges or persecutions or difficulties, but there's something about when God's favor is on your life. There's going to be an element of God's favor that I believe is going to come even on our church community. And this is something that He is doing. And I love this. It says, and the Lord kept adding daily to their numbers those who were coming to life. And that this would be in this move of God that there is going to be harvest, guys. There's going going to be people coming into the kingdom of God. Come on, right where you are right now, I just want you to take a moment. Who is someone in your circle? Who is someone in your life that you would believe to come to the Lord this year? Who is someone in your life that you say, I'm going to pray right now. Come on, just say their name right now. Just speak their name out right now. Speak their names out right now. But we are believing for harvest. Guys, see, these are all elements of the move of God. And these are elements of the move of God that I believe we're contending for and we're leaning into as a church family. And so all these things matter. All these things are important. But all these things are not the main point of my message today. I want you to look and go back in the midst of all these things that I've shared. I want you to look back and I want you to see verse 44 and verse 45, because this is another element of a move of God. This is another key element or ingredient of what goes on when God is moving and when you're in a company of people that are in a spirit of revival. And what do these two verses say? It says, all the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Family, one of the distinctives of the early church, one of the distinctives of this group of people that was experiencing a powerful move of God, and it is the same today, it is the same in moves of God that happen around the world, it is same, going to be the same in the move of God that we are contending for and believing for as a church family, and that is this, that there is radical generosity. We see here in the early church, they were one body. They shared what they had. They even sold assets to help meet the needs of people. And guys, there's so many ways that we could branch this out, but I just want to focus very much on the generous spirit that was flowing in that church. And the same way, as a church family, I believe God wants to take us in 2021 into a new level of a spirit of generosity. He wants to take us into a new place of being radically generous and being people who give, being a church who gives. I want us to dream about being generous. I want us to strategically plan to be generous. I want us to be faithful in this, and just corporately and individually, that this year God wants to level us up. He wants to take us to a new place in generosity. Now, was it this generosity that was the sole cause of the move of God? Did this generosity make this move of God happen? No. There was a move of the Holy Spirit. There was many factors that played into this. But was generosity part of the ecosystem of revival? Definitely. Guys, generosity, I'm not saying that our giving just automatically causes revival, but here's what I am saying. Our giving is part of what causes revival. Our giving is part of an ecosystem where we are creating generosity. We want to see a move of God. We want to see signs, wonders, miracles. We want to see people daily coming to life. We want to see just all these things happen. Part of that is taking these steps of faith to be radically generous. Radical generosity is a response to what God was doing. But it also helped continue the flow and continued pushing forward what God was doing. In other words, let me say it this way today. You can sow into the flow. Let me say that again. You can sow into the flow. Somebody say, you can sow into the flow. See, our sowing is not saying, okay, if we give a big offering, it automatically means the group of God's gap. No, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that play into that, but our generosity is part of it. Anytime you see a move of God, you see radical generosity. And as we engage in radical generosity, we help sow into a move of God. And we sow into what God is already doing. We sow into the flow. Let's look at another verse about this. And let me jump here. I just realized I jumped ahead of my notes. You can sow into the flow. Let me help you see what I mean here. In a move of God, we are going to see prayer, right? Right? We're going to see prayer in a move of God. Does the spirit of prayer come because of the move of God? In other words, because God's moving, does the spirit of prayer grow? Of course. But does the spirit of prayer also help fuel the move of God? Definitely. We know that if my people who are called by my names will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from heaven, I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. When we pray, it also sows into the move of God. Let's think about worship. In a move of God, we are going to see radical worship, right? It's going to be this incredible spirit of worship. Does this worship happen because of the move of God? Yes. Does this heartfelt, radical worship also help fuel the move of God? Does it help sow into what God is doing? Yes, again. You know, in a move of God, are we going to see souls come into the kingdom? Are we going to see people? Well, we're going to see people who just masses of people come to Christ. Now, does that happen because of the move of God? Definitely. But does our passion in us growing in evangelism, us growing in reaching out to people and growing and sharing with people, does that help sow into what God is doing? Definitely. Do you guys see what I'm painting the picture here? We see all these elements that flow out of a move of God, but they're also responses to what God's doing where we can sow into the flow. And so it works the same way with radical giving and generosity. Does radical giving and generosity come because of a move of God and people are being touched by the Holy Spirit and people are having their perspective changed and their life changed, and because of that they want to give and they want to sow? Definitely. But does it also happen where if we will catch a spirit of generosity and we'll say, God, we're believing for big things. We're believing for you to move. We're believing for you to do some amazing things in this time. And we are going to sow into it. We are going to take a step of faith to be radically generous. We are going to sow into the flow. Does that happen as well? You better believe it does. Come on, somebody where you are right now, in your house, in your car, wherever you're listening to this message, I want you to say, sow into the flow. Sow into the flow. Let's look about another passage that speaks of this same dynamic in the scriptures. And I want you to go to Acts 10, 1 verse 2. And it says, at the time, there was a Roman military officer, Cornelius, who was in charge of 100 men stationed at Caesarea. He was the captain of the Italian regiment, a devout man of extraordinary character who worshiped God and prayed regularly together with all his family. He also had a heart for the poor and gave generously to help them. Now, a little bit of context around this verse. If you read Acts chapter 10 and you read coming into this passage, this is the time and the place when the gospel moved from being preached only to the Jewish people to being preached to the Gentiles. So if you are not a Jewish follower of Jesus, this passage should be particularly exciting for you. I mean, it can if you're a Jewish follower of Jesus as well. But this, guys, is where the door opened for the nations to come into the kingdom. Up to this point in the book of Acts, the gospel was only being preached to the Jewish people. But God's heart was not just for it to be preached to the Jewish people. Yes, it was to reach the Jewish people, but it was the whole world. And so God was now looking for a door to open up where he said, okay, I want to break my church out of just the Jewish speaking, the Jewish believers. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the door into the entire world. And so he was looking for someone who could be the first Gentile to receive the gospel. And he found and he chose this man, Cornelius. This is the man. So this is the passage and the whole story where an angel appears to Cornelius and tells him to send for Peter. Then the Lord gives Peter a vision that shows Peter that he should not call anything unclean unless God says it's unclean. And this shows Peter and gives Peter the confidence when these men show up asking him to come to Cornelius' house that he should preach the gospel to Cornelius and preach the gospel to Cornelius' family. And then there's a great move of God and it opens up a whole new era for the church. But I want us to look today, just as we're discussing this, I want us to look at Cornelius. And I want us to look at the characteristics that were in his life. The Bible tells us, number one, that he was a devout man, or that he had a heart for God. Number two, the Bible tells us that he had extraordinary character. He was a man who had a passion for holiness in his life. Number three, it tells us that he worshiped God, and he prayed regularly with his family. And then it also tells us that he had a heart for the poor and gave generously to help them. Guys, what are the heart postures that attract the Holy Spirit? Even if we're talking about a move of God that we're believing for as a church family, what are heart postures that create an environment, that create a landing zone, that create a resting place where the Holy Spirit can just move freely? Well, first and foremost, it's people who have a heart for God. Will you allow the Lord to stir up in you today in a fresh way, a heart for God? Will you allow the Lord to stir up a hunger in you? I'm asking the Lord to stir up a hunger in me and a heart and a passion for Him. Number two, it's extraordinary character. God is looking for people who have a passion and a heart for holiness. Not a legalistic holiness that's just about do's and don'ts, but a true heart to seek God, a true heart for the presence of God, a true heart to separate ourselves from sin unto God. Number three, there's this passion for worship and prayer. And I believe that even this year, this is something that God is cultivating in us, a passion for prayer and a passion for worship, a passion to lift His name up. But last but not least, guys, just as important as a heart for God, which we all know is true, just important as extraordinary character and holiness, just as important as worship and prayer, we see that there's this element of radical generosity. People who have a heart to obey the Holy Spirit and to give generously, and to give big, and to give sacrificially, and most importantly, to always follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our giving. Just as God chose Cornelius to be a gateway to the nations who needed to hear the gospel, I believe that God is looking for modern day Corneliuses in individuals, in church communities who will have this heart for Him, who will have the heart for holiness, who will be given to worship and prayer, and who will give themselves to radical generosity. Will you be a Cornelius? Will we be a Cornelius church that says we are going to embrace radical generosity as we sow into the move of God? Come on, somebody wherever you are, say sow into the flow. All right, let's move on as well to Luke chapter 16, 9 to 13. I want to continue to show you this principle of the power of sowing into the flow. Luke 16, 9 to 13, again from the Passion Translation, says this. It is important that you use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Then when this world fails and falls apart, your generosity will provide for you an eternal reward. The one who manages the little he's been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little that they've been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? Now, guys, there is so much in this passage here. I think I say that about just about every verse I read. But there is so much in this passage here about giving and generosity. First, from verse 9, it says that it is important that we use the wealth of this world to demonstrate our friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Then when this world fails and falls apart, your generosity will provide for you an eternal reward. God is saying to us today, He's saying, listen, I blessed you with wealth. I've blessed you with possessions. I've blessed you with finances. I want to bless you with even more. But will you use it with wisdom? Will you use it to win people to me? Will you use it to bless others? And then when this world falls apart, when the economy is not doing what it needs to do, when jobs are not where they need to be, God says, listen, you are going to have provided for yourself, not just in this world, but an eternal reward. Furthermore, in first verse 11, it says, if you've not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should we be trusted with eternal treasures of the spiritual world? Guys, what if, come on, just work with me on this for a second right now. What if the biggest block that was stopping many of us from entering into all that God has for us was our fear in the area of generosity? Right? What if the biggest block that was stopping us from entering into the souls we're believing for, entering into the signs and wonders we're believing for, from entering into the multitudes, the miracles, and the millions, what if the biggest block was fear from being generous? And we're saying, because God's saying, listen, if I can trust you with money, if I can trust you to follow me with your money, if I can trust you to obey me with your money, I can then trust you with what another translation says are true riches. And what if there's so many of us that are right on the edge of manifestation, right on the edge of breakthrough? Maybe there's been some things you've been praying about and going, God, I just don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. I've got these promises, all these things. And God's saying, listen, you're right there. He's saying, you're right on the edge. Just dive in with me in generosity. Because when I can trust you with your finances, I can trust you to tithe, I can trust you to give to people and give to offerings when I tell you to, that is a key indicator in the spirit realm that I can now trust you with true riches.
Right? And so even though when the Lord says here, why should you be trusted with eternal treasures of the spiritual world if you've not handled the riches of the world with integrity? Here's the flip side. What if we start handling the riches of the world with integrity? What if we start handling the riches of the world with obedience in a fresh way? What if we start handling the riches of the world with the spirit of generosity? What is that going to open up in the spirit? What is that going to open up over your life? What is that going to open up over our church? What if this was the only thing standing between you and me and manifestation was just this act of obedience in our generosity? Do you see again how our giving is tied to the supernatural? Let me show you one last thing. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 7, 8 to 13. And as you go there, I want you just to say it with me one more time. Sow into the flow. We are learning to sow into the flow of what God is doing. In 1 Kings 17, 8 to 13, it's an account about the prophet Elijah. And it says, "And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold,'" watch this part, "'behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And he came to the gate of the city, and behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And she was going to bring it, and he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" In other words, can I have some food? "And she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and we may die.'" So just let's pause for a moment. Put yourself in this story. You have a mother here who's been asked by the prophet if he can have some food. And she basically says, "We have nothing, and all we have is a little bit left. I'm going to go make a fire. Me and my son are going to eat it, and then we're going to die." Like, think about the desperate straits that she was in. Yeah, this last year has been a little rough, but I don't think any of us are in a place like this widow was in. But watch what happens. "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends the rain upon the earth.' And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days." Somebody say many days. "They ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." Come on, somebody say it again. Sow into the flow. Now, several things I want you to see from this passage. Number one, notice right at the beginning, the Lord said, "I have commanded a widow there to feed you," or to provide for you. Many times when reading this story, we skip over that part. Now, I don't know exactly how the Lord commanded, but this widow was not just minding her own business, and Elijah just showed up in her life and said to her, "Give me some food," and she's had it. No, she already knew that he was coming. The Lord had showed her that there's a prophet coming that I want you to feed and I want you to provide for. So God had spoken this to her, but then when he comes to her and he asks her to do just what God told her to do, right? That's why even with these first fruits offerings, I say it over and over and over again. I'm not trying to pressure you to give a certain size offering or to give or to do something. We need to be led by the Lord. This offering that was asked of her was because the Lord spoke it to her heart. But it's interesting because when he came and asked her, she basically said, "No, all we have left is this, and we're going to go, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die." Now, it's interesting because this encourages me. Because she already had a word from God that she was supposed to feed the prophet, but she was wrestling with it naturally. She was wrestling with it in her mind. She didn't understand how this was going to happen or how this was going to come to pass. And she'd really come to a place of discouragement. And how about you? But I definitely have moments of discouragement regarding my finances, moments of discouragement regarding the promises of God. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And I'm so thankful for his love for us. And I'm so thankful that there's sometimes that God just doesn't listen to me. And I'm just talking whatever, foolishness. And God's just like, yeah, okay, this is my promise. And he just kind of helps get me in line. Or he speaks through my wife, or he speaks through somebody else to kind of help get me in line. And maybe today God sent me to you through this message to kind of get you out of self-pity, to get you out of discouragement, and to help get you back into line. But watch this. So then Elijah says, so she basically says to him, I can't give it to you. This is all we have. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. Now watch what he does. He says, no, 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 don't worry about it. Just go make it and give it to me. Now think about this for a second. Can you imagine what this would have looked like on social media if it was in those days? Can you imagine what the reports on the newspaper or the television would have been like? Prophet of God asked starving widow to give him her last meal, taking the food out of her mouth, out of her baby's mouth, so he can eat. What a terrible, wicked man. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine, again, but we have to remember, in the kingdom, things work differently. See, he understood in the natural, this might look weird, but in getting her into a position of sowing, he was getting her into a place of provision, right? If she thought she didn't have much, but if she had said no to him, if she had said, I'm just going to use this for myself, I don't have enough to give, she would have died. But because, and sometimes people say, well, it's because she gave it to the prophet. No, I think it was because she obeyed the Lord. Right? It wasn't so much the prophet, because remember, the Lord had already told her to do this. That's why obedience is so important. Sometimes people have taken this and they've kind of twisted it a bit, and it's, oh, you got to give it to the prophet. No, you just got to obey God. God told her to give it to the prophet. She was wrestling with it, but the prophet encouraged her to obey the Lord. And when she obeyed the Lord, what happened? Guys, the supernatural happened. When she obeyed God, the supernatural kicked into gear. And not only did she have enough to feed the prophet and to feed her son and herself, but they had enough, the Bible says, for many days. God literally provided for them in the middle of a famine, in the middle of economic disaster, in the middle of a situation where people around them were starving, people around them were dying, people around them didn't have enough. The economic situation was bad, but because they obeyed the Lord, because she sowed into the flow, because of that, the supernatural kicked into gear. Guys, let me just challenge you in this. There are going to be times when you don't have enough. There's going to be times where if you're looking ahead and you're projecting, it just doesn't seem like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to come together. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. I don't know how we're going to go. My encouragement to you in this, in the middle of those times, God is going to come to you. You say, listen, I want you to give. And your natural mind is going to struggle with it, because you're going to think, if I give this, I'm not going to have enough. But you have to remember that when you give, you step out of the natural. Because in the natural, all you got is all you got. And if all you got is not enough for what you need, then what you've got has got to become a seed. And you've got to hear the Lord, and you've got to take that step of faith. But when you do, it will open the door to the supernatural. Come on, somebody wherever you are right now, say, sow into the flow. Guys, when you will give and you will obey the Lord, it is a divine setup. Why? Because God is saying, I want to move you out of the natural into the supernatural. And your obedience in your giving is going to open that door. Come on, somebody say it again. Sow into the flow. Come on, guys. In this year of 2021, many of us are facing challenges. I don't know for many of you exactly what the challenges you're facing. I know some of the challenges I'm facing. I know some of the challenges we're facing corporately, even as a church family. But I want to encourage you. In 2021, God wants to move us out of the natural, and he wants to move us into the supernatural. He wants to just stir our hearts up regarding not even just getting through this season, but regarding a move of God, of what he wants. You know how many words have been spoken and prophesied about a move of God that's coming even out of this season, and our hearts are going to be turned, and our hearts are going to be open. And today, I want to encourage you that we have an opportunity to sow into the flow with our first fruits offering. We have an opportunity, again, watch this, just like this widow, to hear and obey God. And again, I want to stir your faith. I'm not telling you, you have to do this or it has to be this much. You hear God and you obey God, but then sow into the flow. And when we sow into the flow, guys, we will see the supernatural. We will see the supernatural individually. We will see the supernatural corporately. We will sow into the move of God and what he wants to do and what he wants to release. And so I want to encourage you. We're going to pray into this in just a moment, and then we're going to take communion together. But I want to encourage you. I know, again, I know some of you have maybe already sown, And so we're going to pray over that and bless that. Some of you are getting ready to give right now, or you're planning to give today, so we're going to pray into that. Maybe some of you, even as you listen to me preach, you felt like the Lord stir you just to make a shift in what you plan to do. Listen to the Lord. Obey whatever He tells you to do. But let's sow into the flow. And as we sow into the flow this year, guys, as we sow into even this first fruits offering, we are going to believe God, number one, for more than enough this year. Come on, just say that with me. Say more than enough. God's promise is that we will have more than enough to do everything He's called us to do. Number two, as we are obedient with finances, we're going to trust God that we're going to step up to a new place of walking in true riches and stewarding true riches. I don't know about you, but I am so hungry for the true riches that God wants to release. Money's just money. Possessions are just possessions. They come and they go. And I don't mean that we minimize their importance, but I'm saying the true riches are what we really need to set our hearts for. And so we have this opportunity for true riches. And we are also going to believe God for the supernatural. When we sow into the flow, we step out of the natural and we step into the supernatural. Amen? Come on, somebody with me right now, one last time, say sow into the flow. Come on, tell your neighbor around you. Tell someone who's sitting with you. Tell someone, type it out in the screen if you want to. Say, I'm going to sow into the flow. And we are going to sow into the flow and we're going to sow into what God's doing. So let's do this. Let's pray together. And let's just agree before the Lord, and let's consecrate and let's dedicate this offering to Him. Jesus, we come before You today, and we thank You for this opportunity that we have to give. I thank You that giving and radical generosity is not a loss in the kingdom, but it's actually a gain. As You said, it's more blessed to give than receive. You talk about how we've been blessed so we can be a blessing. And so even today, as people have already submitted their first fruits or are planning to submit their first fruits, we just dedicate ourselves to You. We dedicate these gifts to You. We dedicate this year to You. And Father, I thank You as we sow into the flow. I thank You in Jesus' name and declare that we will have more than enough this year. Just like the widow of Zarephath, that she and her household ate for many days, and the jar of flour was not spent, and the jug of oil did not become empty. I thank You in the name of Jesus for more than enough this year. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, losing jobs, business closed down, charitable donations dropping, whatever, we'll have more than enough, and we declare it in Jesus' name. Father, I also thank You as we are faithful to be obedient with our finances, that You more and more will trust us with true riches. And so we thank You for this. We receive it. We declare it. We are walking in true riches. And last but not least, Father, I thank You that we are stepping out of the natural and we are going to move in an even greater way in the supernatural. I thank You that 2021 is a year of the supernatural. I thank You that the 2020s, this decade, is a decade of the supernatural. And God, that You are teaching us and You are training us to be supernatural people, who do not just walk in the natural, but learn to live in the supernatural in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me, said, amen. All right, so once again, I know many of you have given your first fruits offerings. Praise God, thank You for that. If you are planning to today, please just make sure you mark it clearly, first fruits offering, so we know what it's for. If you have any questions or any concerns about it, or you need to figure out a way to give it physically, whatever it is, just let us know. And so, we are so excited for this. We're so thankful for God's doing. And now we have the opportunity to take communion together. So I want you to go grab your communion elements. If you have them in front of you, get ready. I'm going to be back with you in a moment, and we're going to take communion. All right, everyone. Well, I mean, this is a power-packed Sunday, isn't it? We have an opportunity to just worship God. We have an opportunity to give through the first fruits offering, and we have an opportunity to take communion together. You know, it's interesting, even as I was reading to you from Acts 2, 42 to 47, which once again, I believe is in very many ways going to be a kingdom blueprint and just a real kingdom, give us so much kingdom insights into the move of God and what God wants to do. It talked about how they took communion together regularly. And that was because communion for them was not just a religious tradition that they do once a month. Again, nothing wrong with necessarily doing it once a month, but it was not a religious tradition to them, but it was something very vital, very real, and very powerful. There is power in communion when you do it in a spirit of faith.
And there's a power in communion when you do it in a spirit of reverence and remembrance for Jesus and what he did for us. So let's have that spirit of faith today. Let's have that spirit of remembrance. It's a time to remember what Jesus did for us and his promises for us. And so even as we take these first fruits offerings and we're standing on what God is doing, let's take this communion and really seal this together. Amen? Amen. And so the Bible tells us that on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." Let's take this bread together in reverence, in faith, in honor, in remembrance of him. The scriptures also say he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." Let's drink together today in remembrance of him. All right, let's pray. And as it was Healing School Sunday, we obviously focus more on giving the supernatural. But even as we've given today, I want us to believe God for healing. I also believe God for his power to manifest. We've taken communion to remember Jesus and what he did. So let's just agree together right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, even as we've had the opportunity to take communion together today. Lord, I thank you for your broken body. I thank you for your shed blood. And I pray that today there will be even a fresh spirit of revelation in each one of us of what you've done for us. That we can have confidence even in the days that we are living in because of you and because of what you've done for us and in your finished work. And so right now in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, even as we've had an opportunity to take communion, as we've had an opportunity to sow these first fruits offerings, God, to sow into the flow. And so I pray and I thank you in Jesus' name for every person, God, that is battling sickness, that is battling disease, that has any needs in their body, God, even to expand it, needs in their life around them. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing. Father, we thank you for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. By his stripes, we were healed. And we stand on that, and we declare that, and we speak that right now. Lord, I thank you for your healing power touching every single person watching right now. Wherever they are, whatever's going on, Father, I thank you that you are bringing healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that cancer is being healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that sinus infections are being healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that migraine headaches, God, are being healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that tumors are being dissolved right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for eyesight issues that are being corrected right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for hearing issues and hearing loss. Someone's got a ringing and a hearing loss in their left ear. God is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for digestive issues being healed and made whole right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for immune issues being healed in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, God, supernaturally. My faith is just stirred. We thank you for HIV and AIDS being healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for knee issues being healed and restored, ankle issues being healed and restored. God, issues with people's feet being healed and restored. God, whatever the need is, whether I say it or whether I not, the blood of Jesus is more than enough. The power of God is more than enough. The power that your word. So we thank you today and we declare by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take a step of faith right now, wherever you are. And if there's a way to kind of test it out, to see if you can move, sometimes you can't necessarily check or see things, but I want you to test yourself out. And I want you to see if there's an immediate response, if there's immediate change, even if it's a percentage point. And I want you, if that's the case, let us know. And even if you don't see anything yet, there's times where Jesus prayed for people and they were healed as they went. And so I believe that the healing power of God is flowing into you. And we're going to keep leaning into this together. We're going to keep leaning in prayer. We're going to keep leaning in praise and worship. We're going to keep leaning in preaching the word. And we are going to keep leaning in radical generosity in Jesus' name. I pray, I speak, and I declare that Toronto City Church is a radically generous church filled with radically generous people. And God, that you are able to make abound more than enough, God. Lord, that you will make us abound in everything so that we will have an abundance for every good work. And we speak this and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone agree with me said, amen, amen, amen. All right, well, we went a little longer today, but it was so good to be together. Before I go, there's just a couple things I want to mention really quickly. Number one, if there's anyone watching today and you are not right with God, why not get right with him right now? Why not make that decision today for Jesus? right? Whether you've never known Christ or maybe you're watching, and I believe there is at least one person watching right now and you've really fallen away from God. Maybe you even just stumbled on this video, but God is speaking to you right now because he wants you to come home. He's not angry at you. He's not done with you. He just got started. He began a good work and he is going to be faithful to complete it, but he wants you to come home. Here's what the Bible tells us. God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love because of sin. Because of sin, we have been separated from, we've been separated from God. We've been separated from his love. And because of this separation, we ultimately deserve eternal judgment. Now, I'm just pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. Now, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. Jesus came, he died, and he rose again so we could be forgiven and we could be free, so we could be reconnected with God. He became like the bridge that connected us back to God. He tore the veil in two that separated people from the presence of God. And so today, God is calling to you and he's saying, will you come home? Will you commit your life to me? Will you give your life back to me? And so if you know I'm talking to you and you know you need to make this decision, I want you to pray this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again. Today I turn my back on sin. I commit my life to you. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for setting me free. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer from your heart, you are now moved into a place of being right with God. I know it sounds simple, but that's just all he wants. He just wants an open heart. And so if you did make that decision, can you let us know? We want to be able to journey with you. We want to support you in whatever way possible. And so please just click on a link that's going to become available, but let us know that you've made this commitment for Christ. We actually have someone who'd want to pray with you right now. Amen? Amen. All right. So we love you guys. I'm going to keep it quick in closing here because we've had a lot of elements here today. You know how we do with our regular giving and our regular tithes and offerings. Obviously, we've had first fruits, but we still have our regular ongoing giving to the Lord. And so the giving information's on the screen there. We want to keep leaning into generosity. Remember, generosity flows out of move of God, but generosity also helps to fuel the move of God. And so even our faithfulness and our tithes and our offerings, our faithfulness with worldly riches is part of what enables us and trains us to prepare true riches. So let's give into this. Let's sow into the flow. Let's sow into what God's doing. I am so excited about this year. I believe we're coming into a supernatural year. I believe God, I believe like we've got a mortgage on our facilities. We're going to see this thing supernaturally paid off in Jesus' name. We're going to be able to build phase three supernaturally in Jesus' name. And it's going to come as we all yield to the Lord. God's going to get it to us so he can get it through us. Amen? All right, well, I'm done preaching. That's enough for today. So thank you for being with us. It's been awesome. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for sowing. If you have any questions, you have any needs, let us know. We're going to keep navigating this season together. Before you know it, we're going to be back together in person, and it is going to be amazing.